Morning, everybody. How we doing? A couple things in getting ready for the Bengals. I thought that the first time we played them, really liked the way that the way we played that game. I thought that was the first time that we played the style of football that we're looking to play. And it's a game where they got up early. We were down 14-0, able to come back. At different points, didn't look very good. And baby blocking the extra point and then going into overtime. Obviously a difficult loss, but I liked our approach. I liked the way we dealt with adversity. All those things were positive. And I think the one thing that you see with Cincinnati as well is they've dealt with tough situations throughout the season and been very resilient and won some tough games. And 7-3 now, they lead the division. And outside of a fluke play against Denver, really should be 8-2. And as you look at them defensively, really collectively, but defensively, when they've been able to force turnovers and the offense has been able to protect the ball, Marvin's winning percentage is impressive. It's close to 900%. And that's been his trademark. It was something that he's always been very successful at doing, is creating turnovers, whether it was here, whether it was in Baltimore, wherever he's been, they've done that. And they got a couple against us. They got one in the red zone right in the end zone. They had the one where they stripped the ball out and returned it for a touchdown. And last game did a much better job protecting the football, and that's something that we're going to have to do as well this weekend. And in the running game, they're able to penetrate and create some negative runs. They've got some pressure packages like we see each week, and they'll change them up a little bit. And we'll have to deal with that. Offensively, Ocho Cinco is as dangerous as ever. Lavernius Cole's a guy I've talked about before, know really well. I think he's made some really nice contributions. Tough guy, great competitor, great teammate. And Andre Caldwell, right on down the line, they've got some weapons in the passing game and the running game with the emergence of Bernard Scott and the addition of Larry Johnson. We've got our hands full there, and I don't think we did a good enough job in the running game last game. Averaged close to 5.1 yards a carry. In the return game, Scott's handling some of that. He had the impressive return against Pittsburgh. Caldwell, he's been dangerous. And then with Quan Cosby, he did some nice things in the punt return game. So it'll be a challenge for us on special teams. I thought we did a nice job last time we played him on special teams, but it'll have to be at the same level, if not better, to achieve anywhere near the same results. So that, open up to questions.
Jim Schwartz thought your comments were out of bounds about the fake injuries. Did you get a chance to talk to him yet?
Yeah, I talked to Jim for a while. We cleared the air. Jim, I like Jim. We've always had a good relationship, so talk through that. And you know, the bottom line is we didn't do enough to win the game, and Jim and I are fine.
In that first Cincinnati game, Jerome Harrison rushed for 121 yards. Does that mean that you might use him in this game?
Yeah, Jerome is live for every game. All three of those backs are. And had a good conversation with Jerome last week. And I anticipate him having a good week of practice. Chris Jennings has done some good things. It's a nice situation with those guys being as competitive as they are. See a situation where all three backs are up. So we'll see how the week goes from a special teams perspective, from a numbers perspective, but I could see all three of those guys being up, or Jerome being up and Chris being down. It just depends on how it goes.
When you talked to him then, Eric, he seemed disappointed that he's not been part of the plan lately?
Well, that's part of any... That's the nice thing about any conversation, is you can go through and talk about some of the things that you can do better, some of the things I'm looking for, some of his expectations, and you just have very clear vision of what you have to do collectively, my expectations, his expectations, and what he has to do to be active. And I thought it was a good talk, and you like to do that anytime that a guy has a question.
Brian and David Vicune weren't up Sunday. Why, and is that disappointing this far into the season, two number twos inactive?
Well, I don't really look at it that way. I look at it as bringing the guys that do the best job during that week and give us the best chance to win. And Marcus Bernard was active, and you know, that's positive. Here's a guy that's worked his way up and made it a case for himself and had a chance to play. Chancey Stuckey had been hurt the week before. He was down. He was back. I thought he had a good week of practice and goes out, has several key receptions during the game. So that's positive as well. But it's no different for those two guys either. They're live all during the week. Whoever makes the best case during practice will be up, and how they fit in the team's game will play a role as well.
Can you talk about the season that Robert Smith has had coming off that Achilles and what he's been able to do?
He's had an outstanding season. He's tough, as tough as I've been around, really physical. You almost have to slow him down in practice against the scout team just because he is so physical. He is so competitive, really bright guy, learns his job, learns the concepts of the whole defense. I really like him. Great personality, pretty funny guy. So I'm happy he's here.
To come off that series of an injury and then put together a season?
I hadn't looked at it that way, Mary Kay. I just did come in. He'd had the surgery. He was rehabbing. And just by judging from his rehab and those things, it looked really positive in terms of his approach and the progress he was making and even the early part of practices and things. He's a pro. He goes out every day. He works. It doesn't matter what the drill is. It could be a drill that they're running during special teams. He's doing the best he can at it. And that's why he's played as long as he has. And you love to be able to point at guys like that and say, okay, you want to know how to play 8 years, 10 years, however many years, just watch him. Watch his approach. Watch the way that he studies. Emulate that. And you got a chance. You have the best chance to reach your potential.
Eric, do you think the offense turned a corner, or are you waiting to find out like the rest of us?
Well, it's what I was really happy with, Tony, is the plays that were there to be made. We made them. We were worked on the no huddle, and I've gotten better at that. The protection. Thought Brady and Alex Mack and the whole group did a nice job with identifying the different looks. And they had a lot of different looks and getting the protection where it needs to get to. It's nice use of different tools by Brady and the receivers and taking advantage of some of the things that they have or they gave us. Those are all things that we've talked about through the course of the season. Those are all things that we've done. We just haven't done them to our capacity. So to see that, I was encouraged. I think they were all encouraged. And you don't want to be like one-hit wonder. Well, you can got to go out and do it the next week.
Shouldn't it happen now that it's the 11th week? Shouldn't you expect a new level of offense by now?
I expect it every week. To me, it's not we should really be clicking by week 11. You want to see that each week. And now the other key thing was no turnovers. Huge, huge difference in what can happen offensively when you don't turn the ball over. Very limited balls that were catchable and dropped. Very limited misses on throws that were makeable. And start chipping away at those things, those self-inflicted wounds where you're stopping yourself, and now you're going to move the ball.
Like Brady used the pump fake a lot in that game. Was that a game plan thing, or is he just doing it instinctively?
Well, you try to incorporate that anytime you're throwing deep balls because you want to be able to hold the safety. So if you're going to the right, you want to try to be able to hold them to keep them out of the mix. So I think it's something that maybe we did a little bit more last week, but it's part of the program each week.
Why did you
wait until Brady got back in there to emphasize the no huddle as much as you have the last couple of weeks?
I've always really liked it, and there's pluses and minuses to both ways of doing it. If you're stationary, you usually get you can usually anticipate what the coverage is. More often than not, you can see different looks. You can really key in on certain things, and you see that with really the New England system, the Indianapolis system. You know, that's one approach, the stationary read and go. And then the other approach is the no huddle, which can force them to declare quicker. There may be some things with shifting, motioning, where you don't have as clean a read, but you get an advantage in terms of their adjustments aren't as clean. They're not, they can't get to what they want to get to as quickly as they'd like to get to it. So done it both, took both approaches. And, you know, first year in New York, we ran no huddle every snap of the whole season. And then different points throughout the next 2 years did the same thing. I mean, I like it.
I'm saying when the DA was in there, if I'm not mistaken, he huddled, and now you made the quarterback change and went to no huddle. Is that accurate or not?
Well, we practiced it each week with DA, and that was still part of the offense. Just moved to it a little bit more with the bye week, where we had some time to look at it and discuss it. So that was might have been more a function of that than anything else, being able to take a step back and look at it and evaluate it.
Robiski's been inactive on a few occasions and has one catch in 6 or 7 weeks he's played. And I'm curious as to how that compares to what you might have anticipated when you drafted him as your first receiver and second-round pick this year.
Just so many experiences with young guys where they hit it different times. Some guys hit really quickly. Some guys, it takes a while. David Harris didn't start right away in New York. Then got an opportunity to play and did a nice job, but he wasn't ready to start. Even though he was talented, even though he did some good things, he just wasn't ready to assume that role. And that's a guy that's played inside linebacker his whole career and is a really bright, hard-working guy that cared, just wasn't ready at that point. And some other guys are able to step in right away and be really effective. Some guys it takes a year or so. And David Givens, we first had him in New England. A lot of drop balls initially. Just kept working at it and ended up doing really nice things. But he wasn't ready at that point.
Under the current structure of the franchise, you're really the only voice and face right now. It seems overwhelmingly the fans, I know you talked to the Detroit coach and you're okay with that, but overwhelmingly the fans thought it was kind of weak to blame to blame the injuries or faking the injuries. You got three blackouts looming. Anything you want to say to the fans on that end?
You know, in terms of those things, it wasn't like trying to shy away from accountability, because at the end of the day, we're accountable for losing the game and for not making enough plays. And that's me, that's the coaches, that's the players. I mean, that's what it was. I think frustrated with the situation, probably expressed that more than I probably should have. But at the end of the day, we're responsible for it. And we had plenty of opportunities to win the game, and we didn't. And that wasn't good enough. So I think that as we move forward, what I'm looking for is for us to be able to play complementary football. We've shown what we can do offensively, that when we don't turn the ball over, when we don't have self-inflicted wounds, we can move it effectively. We've shown what we can do defensively, different points throughout the year where that's been very effective. On special teams, it's the same thing, but got to put all three together and play complementary football. Game in and game out, you got to play with the same intensity, game in and game out. And you see signs of it, but it's got to be consistent. And it's something we're committed to, and something that's that work is ongoing, and I feel like you'll learn some things each game as a team, as a unit, as a staff, and you try to take that learning and apply it to the next game. And as this process goes on, looking to see continued progress. And it's everybody's committed to it. Everybody's frustrated with where we are. Everybody's determined to fix it. And that's what we do each day, work as hard as we possibly can to give the fans what they deserve, which is a consistent winning team that plays at a high level all the time. And that's what we're committed to. What I'm committed to, that's what the coaches are committed to, that's what the players are committed to, and that's what the organization is committed to. And that's not going to change, and they deserve it. They deserve it. And we're going to work as hard as possible and as diligently as possible to make sure that happens. And that's ongoing, and there's no lack of resolve by anybody here.
Give us a window into why Rubisky and McKinney haven't played much?
Well, Rubisky has played quite a bit. The games he's been active, I'm not sure his exact play time numbers, but he's played.
Only caught one ball all year.
Well, his production, you know, that needs to improve. And there's no doubt about it. He realizes that, and that's something that he's, working at. But each week we've got to make decisions. We've got 53 guys, and we can only take 45, and some of those decisions are based on special teams and who can give us the value there. And when you're in that situation, it starts there for you. You got to make a contribution there. And then when you get your opportunities on offense and defense, you got to make them count.
Coach, apparently Josh McDaniels got into some pretty heated pregame trash talk with this San Diego linebackers the other day, and I was just wondering, have you had players try to get you started during pregame warm-ups or anything? How do you deal with that, if so?
And I don't know what happened with Josh out there. No, not really. I mean, I can't remember. And even if that was the case, you got a game to play, so just focus on that.
Have guys tried to engage you, though?
I don't remember that happening. So that's my personal experience. Like I said, I'm not sure what Josh's experience was.
When you look at offensive performance Sunday, how much do you factor in that the Lions were the last-ranked defense? Does that play a role?
What I really look at, and I know it's hard to see because the production hasn't been there offensively, I look at the different opportunities where we had a chance to move the ball throughout the course of the season, and there's been plenty of them. We turn the ball over, or we do drop a pass, or whatever it is. Those were against defenses that were ranked, differently than where Detroit may have been. It's just the execution, to me, is what I looked at and what I was really encouraged by.
You have a win over Bills, and you're struggling a little bit. And Detroit, a one-point game against a team like yourself is struggling. With everything considered, taking Cincinnati to overtime and having a chance of winning it at the end of regulation, was that maybe your best game of the year?
We didn't win, so. But I was really happy with the way that we approached the game, and I was really happy with the resilience of the group, and it didn't matter what happened in the game. We fought the same level. They had that chance to kick the extra point, and to block that, I thought that was outstanding. There were different times in overtime where they had chances, and we were able to stop them. It's, I'd say, from a approach perspective, I really like that, and I think there's been times throughout the course of the season where there's been some good, really good things, but putting together is what we have to do.
Have you seen enough of Jennings to know what his upside is, or can he be a feature back in this league?
It's really, really early for that, and he's young, he's inexperienced, he's enthusiastic, which is all encouraging. He's made some nice plays. He had a nice play against Cincinnati where he almost caught in the backfield and picked up 8 yards. That feature back role, that takes some time and a lot of things to it that you have to do. But he is chipping away at establishing a role, which I've been happy with. And he's come a long, long way from when we first got him. And looking forward to him just keep moving along that path. All right, guys, have a great Thanksgiving.